4. The confounding. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. Sit with that sentence a long while, for there is more in it than any of us saw for years. And one of us saw it at last on a night when the drums were going up the ramp in this city, and none of us could sleep for them. They had built a stair for a god to come down. That was the whole purpose of the thing, and we told you so. In the last telling, a mountain of brick with a ramp climbing the flank of it, and a furnished room at the head of it, and a couch, and a table laid, and a place made ready in the middle of the floor. It was a lure. It was the enemy's own drawing, executed in mud by the men he had gathered to draw it. And Davar came down. He came down that very day, and he did not use their stair. Understand what that means, and take your time over it. For the whole of the war of the two kingdoms is folded up in it. He did not stop at the summit. He did not go into the room they had swept for him. He did not lie on the couch they had made. And he did not eat off the table they had laid. And he did not stand in the empty place, in the middle of the floor, where the image of a god should stand. He went past the whole of it. He went down the outside of that tower, past the priests in their clean robes, waiting on the top stair for the arrival of somebody, past the scaffolding and the ropes and the half-laid courses, all the way to the bottom, into the mud, among the bricklayers. That is where he went. He stood among men with their feet in the water and the straw dust in their throats. And he looked at what they were making, and he was the only one on the whole plain who knew what it was. And the record says a thing there that men have always heard as mockery. And they are not wrong, and it is not the whole of it. The tower whose top was to reach unto heaven was so small from where he came from that he had to come down in order to see it at all. That is true. And it is the plainest word ever spoken about every tower men have raised against heaven from that day to this. It is never as tall as the builders think. From the high places, the whole proud work of it is a scratch in the mud of a flat country, and most high El Elyon must stoop and look twice to find it. But hear the other thing underneath the mockery, and do not miss it. For it is the very shape of El Elyon, and it stands in every book of this chronicle. When he came down, he did not go up to the top, where the great men were. He went to the bottom, where the men were. And the empty room did not stay empty. We told you that it would not. We do not know the hour of it, and we were not shown the manner of it, and we will not paint you a picture the record has not painted. But something came up the inside of that tower while the true God was coming down the outside of it. It went into the room that had been made ready and lay on the couch and ate off the table and stood in the place in the middle of the floor and let the priests bow down to it. And it was not a god, and it never had been one. And any priest of them all would have known it in a heartbeat if the light of Ramoth had come through that doorway for so much as an instant. There were two arrivals on that plain, and they crossed. One came up the inside from the pit, one came down the outside to the pit. And the men of Shinar got precisely the god they had built a house for. And they never once learned that the other one had been standing in their clay all afternoon. Then he spoke, and the ruined one in the room at the top heard him. And the reason he gives is not the reason you are expecting. Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Hear that, and hear that there is no fear in it. Davar is not afraid of a tower, nor of the evil fallen creature squatting in the room on top of it, and there is nothing in the three worlds that could put fear into him. And any man who reads that sentence as the nervousness of heaven has understood neither the sentence nor the speaker. It is a reckoning. It is the plain arithmetic of what a united race will make of itself, with the marred image of El Elyon still in it, and the whole of its cleverness intact. If nothing is ever again permitted to stand in its way, nothing will be restrained from them. Not nothing good, nothing at all. There would be no cruelty they could not organize, no lie they could not carry to every hearth in the world by nightfall, no evil they could not bring to completion. For they would be one in tongue and one in will and one in the old pride, and there would be nobody left outside the wall to say a word against any of it. He had seen it once already, in the age before the water, and that world had no wall about it and no single crown over it. This one had both. And so El Elyon did the strangest thing in the whole record of the young world, and the mercy in it is the part men never see. But before we tell it, there is a saying we have from our fathers, and we will set it down as a saying and not as the record, for we told you in the last telling that we have no certainties to sell, and we are not going to start now. The scroll does not say this. Not a word of it is written there. What has come down to us, from our fathers and from theirs before them, is that the fire fell first, that it came out of the belly of a cloud and down the whole height of the sky at once, and took the head off the tower, and the top of it lay broken on the ramp before ever a word was spoken over that people. We hold it, and we will tell you why, and then you may do with it as you please. Things stand up too high on this plain, and the sky comes down and takes them. We have seen it done in this country, and gone out in the morning, and smelled the air where it went in, and there is no mistaking whose hand is in a thing like that. But take the saying or leave it lying, and mark this either way. A broken top is a season's work, and a winter's grumbling. And by the spring, the baskets are going up the ramp again, and the thing is higher than it was before. He knew that. But El Elyon did not stop there, and he did not do any of the things they were braced for either. He did not drown them. He had hung his bow up in the cloud and sworn that he would not. And he does not swear twice, and he does not go back. He did not put fire through the whole of it and end it that way. He did not send the great wind our fathers speak of and lay the whole of it flat, which would have been an ending they could read. He did not kill one man on that plain, and there is not a drop of blood in the whole of this telling. And the ruined ones, who had braced themselves for the water and were waiting to see what shape the ending would take this time, got nothing they knew how to answer. He broke their words. That is what he did. And it is all he needed to do. He reached into the one thing that made their gathered evil possible, the one gift they had never once thought of as a gift, because it had never once been absent, and he took it away. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Let us go down. We do not understand that us, and we will not pretend to you that we do. It has stood in the record from the beginning, from the hour man was made in the image with the watchers looking on. And the fathers argued it, and went into their graves arguing it. And we sit by this water, and turn it over, and get up no wiser than we sat down. There is a fullness in El Elyon that we cannot see to the bottom of. What we know is this much: that he sent Davar, his son, and he came down. For it is always he who comes, and always he who deals with men. That the word went out of Ramoth, and that whatever it is that speaks of itself in that manner was standing over a mud plain in Shinar that afternoon, and was not divided in itself, and came down as one. And so, in a moment, on a working morning, in the middle of a shout, the one tongue of all the earth shattered. The mason on the wall called down for brick and was handed a bucket of pitch. He called again, louder, the way a man does when he thinks he has not been heard, and the boy at the foot of the ladder stared up at him with his mouth open and made a noise back. And it was a noise the mason had never heard in his life and could get no hold of at all. The overseer gave an order, and the gang looked at him. A man turned to the friend he had worked beside for 11 years and said something perfectly ordinary, and heard it come out of his own mouth wrong, and watched his friend's face change. Up and down the scaffolding, the calling turned to shouting, and the shouting to noise, and the noise to fear. And by evening, men who had laid brick together that morning were striking at one another in the dust and could not have told you why, because they could not tell one another anything whatever. And out of that, before the dark came down, the ruin took his harvest. And it is the only thing he got out of the whole day, and he has lived on it ever since. He could not mend the tongues. He could not put the words back, and he could not build the tower, and he could not so much as pick up a brick. What he could do was stand in the middle of a frightened crowd and lean down to a man who had just heard his oldest friend make an animal noise at him and say, "He is not your friend. He never was. Look at his face. Listen to the sound he makes. He is not one of us." That is where it came from. Every hatred of a man for a man on the ground of the noise his mouth makes was born on that plain in one afternoon out of a mercy, and the enemy has farmed it in every country of the world from that day to this one, and he has never had to plant it twice, and he has never had to water it, and it grows in any soil. The great work stopped, not because the wall fell. The wall did not fall. And get that clear, for the whole of the next telling stands upon it. Most High El Elyon did not throw that tower down. It stood. It stood there with its ramps and its ropes and its half-laid course, and the tools lying where the men had dropped them, and the mortar going hard in the buckets, and the kilns burning themselves out with nobody left to feed them. And the wind came over the plain in the afternoon and blew the brick dust along the empty terraces, and nobody went up. You cannot build a tower with men who can no longer tell one another what to do. They left off to build the city. That is the record's own word for it, and it is a quiet word and a terrible one. They left off, and the ruined one in the room at the top of it lost his workmen and did not lose his room. And the confusion went out over that plain faster than the flood ever went over the world. Family drew away from family it could no longer understand. Kindred clustered to kindred that still shared a sound and looked hard at the next fire and shifted its tents a little further off in the night. The one people came apart along the new cracks in its speech into 100 peoples who had been brothers at breakfast and were foreigners by dark. And every one of them took a road, because there was nothing else left to do. And the roads went out from that plain to the ends of the earth. And the ruined ones went out on those roads with them, one to a people, as they had gone out from the mountain before, and sat down in the new countries, and waited to be worshipped under new names. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. And now the roll pays its debt. And if you were reading wearily, you have missed it. And we told you at the head of the names that you would. Peleg, the son of Eber, whose name is Division, for in his days was the earth divided. It was dropped into the middle of a genealogy 3 pages before this morning, with no warning on it and no word after it. And a man could read the whole list and never feel the floor give under him. There it is. That is what the word was for. Somewhere in the years of one quiet man, in the line of the name, a man who never built anything and never conquered anything and has one sentence to his whole life, the earth came apart along the cracks of its speech, and his mother or his father, standing in a doorway with a child in their arms, heard the noise going up off the plain and named the boy after it. He carried that word all his life, and the line of the promise walked on down through him, through the man named for the day the world broke, toward the man who would be told to go out and be a blessing to every piece of it. Now look at what has happened, and we are not going to grasp it for you, and we will not tell you what to feel about it. They said, lest we be scattered, and they were scattered. The tower they raised to hold themselves together is the very thing that broke them apart, and the fear they built it against is the fear that came and fetched them. That is one way to read the morning, and it is true. Here is the other, and it is true, and it is the same act. El Elyon had charged the race to go out and fill the earth, and the race had refused, and he filled the earth with them anyway. He did not cancel the command when they defied it. He carried it out. Every coast and every cold north country and every hot river of the whole round world was settled by men who did not want to go, driving their carts away from a half-built tower they could no longer talk to one another about. And the enemy, who had gathered the race into one place to hold it in one hand, had it taken out of his hand and strewn from one end of the earth to the other, so that he must now go and hunt it through 10,000 villages, one hearth at a time, forever. And the place was called Babel. In the tongue of the men who own us, who will not let us go home, it is the gate of God. And they say it with their chins up and cut it into the brick over the gates. And it is the proudest name a city ever wore. And in ours, it is a mouthful of noise. Babel, the sound a crowd makes, the sound a man makes when he has lost the thread of what he was saying and cannot find it again. The name is a jest and a judgment folded into one another. And it is written over the doorway we walk under every morning with the baskets on our shoulders. And the men of this city have never once heard it. They think it means the gate of God. It has meant confusion since the day it was named. And they are living inside it. And the ruined one who kept the room at the top kept the name as well. Now the nations remember this, and we will set the matter down briefly and then leave it. For it is not our business to go rummaging in other men's tales, and we have no wish to. The scribes of this country keep a song older than this city, and older than the empire that owns us. And there are lines in it which say that the whole world once spoke to the gods in one tongue, and that a god changed the speech in the mouths of men. That is all. We have had it read out to us. We are captives among these scribes, and we sweep the floor of the house where the clay is kept. A man with a broom hears a great deal. And here is the seam, and we mark it plainly. The learned men who read that clay cannot agree what it says. Some of them read the lines exactly as we have handed them to you, that the one speech was broken and contention was put into the mouth of man. Others read the very same lines the other way about and say that it is no breaking at all but a prayer, and that it asks that the speech of men be made one. The same clay, the same marks, read in opposite directions by men who have given their lives to it. We do not know which of them has the right of it. We are not going to feign a certainty we have not got, and we will not build one grain of this chronicle upon a stranger's tablet. We tell you only what we can honestly tell you, that the men who live where this thing happened have kept, for longer than anybody can measure, a memory that the world once had one tongue, and that it was a god who ended it, and that a whole world does not sit down together and agree to invent the same forgetting. Men dig, and men disagree. We were not standing on that plain, and we are not going to talk as though we had been. And in the depths of Abaddon, the ruin understood, before the dust had settled on the empty ramps, that he had lost a second age. Twice now, he had reached for the whole race at one time. He had poisoned the blood of it, and the water washed the blood. He had gathered it into one fist, and the words broke in the fist. And here is the thing we most want you to see about him, because men are forever waiting for him to give up, and the waiting is itself a kind of trap. He did not give up, and he did not rage, and he did not lose a single hour. He changed his pace. He would go slower now. He would work through kingdoms, one at a time, and be patient with every one of them. And there would always be a plain somewhere with a tower going up on it, and always a king climbing a stair, and always a room at the top with a place made ready in the middle of the floor. He is very good at waiting. There is nothing else to do in the ruin. And the watchers of Ramoth stood over that plain and watched the carts go out. The record does not say what they said, and we have never had one word from that quarter, and we will not invent one to round off a telling. But we have thought, sitting here in the evenings, that of all the offices in the high places, the hardest must be this, to look down upon a judgment, and to know that it is also a mercy, and to be forbidden to go down and explain it to anybody. The men going out from Babel that year did not know that they had been spared. They knew that they had been broken. They cursed as they went, in 100 tongues, all the way to the horizon, and every one of those curses was understood perfectly in Ramoth, and not one of them was understood at the next fire. And the tongues are not mended. We say that plainly, and we stop there, because it would be a very easy thing for us to end this telling warmly, and we have no right to. We live in it. There are men in this city we have worked beside for years and eaten with, and buried children in the same week as, and we cannot say one true thing to them. We have a few words of the market, and they have a few of ours. And between us stands a wall that neither of us could climb in a lifetime. There is a creature who has dined at that wall in every generation since the morning it went up, and he need do nothing at all to keep it standing. And when one of us dies here, we stand round the grave in this foreign mud and say over him the word our fathers said, that he is gathered to his people. And the men working in the next field lift their heads at the sound of it and hear nothing but noise. That is Babel. It is not a tale about a building. It is standing in our mouths.